Yes.
Any questions before we get going?
What are we going to talk about?
Whatever we want to talk about.
Cool, I like it. I'm
Okay.
liking it already.
All right, groovy. Let's go. Welcome to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast for micropreneurs building genuine, lasting relationships with clients, colleagues, and community. I'm your host, Candace Ridardi. If you love eavesdropping on conversations between grateful entrepreneurs who are making this world a better place, be sure to subscribe, share, and leave your review. Today, I'm joined by personal well-being advocate, Dr. Keith McNally. Dr. McNally specializes in facilitating discussions by bringing like-minded people together to create real impact. He's the host of 5 conversations, including the Question Guy podcast and Coach's Corner. Whereas the Question Guy podcast focuses on people's stories of personal transformation, Coach's Corner is a one-on-one conversation regarding his guest's personal expertise. Now he seeks to change the conversation and reduce the stigma surrounding the conversation of mental health and personal well-being. He is doing this by bringing panel members together at the table on the Envision Speakers series. He is also the author of Walking the Path, A Leader's Journey. Welcome, Keith. Holy moly, that's a lot.
I was about to say, that's a lot.
How do you have time for all of that? Don't
well,
answer that. Don't answer that. First, tell us your story. How did you become this guy who has all these conversations all the time?
COVID. We blame COVID for everything. And so I'm going to blame COVID for this too. But there was a suicide attempt in there somewhere. And then there was a heart attack. And so there's a lot of things that have gone on since 2021 that have caused me to intentionally change how I live my life. And I do that by having all the conversations that I can. And so every conversation, including this one, is so vitally important. But the ones I'm having are by design and for my personal healing, although it's, you know, they're designed to do other things as well.
Okay. So you had a suicide attempt and a heart attack.
2021 was my second suicide attempt as a, you know, as a mature man. And in 2022, my heart gave out of me. My artery clogged, it shut down. I had to go to the hospital. Really bad situation. I should be dead. I'm not trying to put a, you know, rain cloud over our conversation, but we shouldn't be having one at this point because too many things have gone wrong. So it's my intention every day that I wake up to do things right.
Well, and all of that was happening in the middle of the pandemic too.
Well, the pandemic kind of was slow fading away 2021. And then in 2022, October, you know, my life, you know, had another hiccup.
Yeah. So all of that's going on and you're still, a mutual friend booked you on the show. And I don't know if she briefed you on my story, but I've been living with metastatic breast cancer for 10 years. And so I get the question all the time, how do you keep doing what you're doing? It's because I don't have any choice, right? I have to keep going.
Yeah.
How do you go to chemo every 3 weeks? Because I have to. How do you do all the things that you do? Because I have to. I mean, there's no getting around it. So, but even though I'm living that story, I still am surprised and amazed at people who manage to do as many things as you're doing when they've had to deal with as much as you've dealt with. So what's that look like for you?
Initially, very challenging. Now I kind of go into a flow. I'm kind of in a rhythm. And so I want to go back a little bit to help our audience or your audience better understand what's going on here. And so 2021, my life implodes. And not only is COVID, quarantine, all that kind of going on and kind of trailing off a bit, but I was also unemployed. And so unemployed for an extensively long period of time. And that was not a good thing. So with all that, I wanted to take my life. Not successful. And so, you know, depending on who you talk to, that could have or not have been a really good thing to say, but I failed. All good. What I was doing, however, through 2021, through 2022, to today and beyond, was redesign my life. So, meaning that I needed to connect with people. I needed to build better, stronger, more resilient relationships with one myself and with the people in the world. Because I tended to be closed off. I tended to be shy, a misfit, you know, all those kind of awkward things that you are as a kid, well, I kept going as an adult, and so they weren't serving me well. My goal then became to have conversations with as many people as I possibly could. And the only people that I knew were those people on my connection list on LinkedIn. So that's what I started doing. I started reaching out to people. Would you like to have a conversation? Would you like to have a conversation? Just like this, a Zoom call. People were slow, but to say yes. But those who were saying yes were doing so because they wanted to share their story. At the very least, they were sharing it, and I was just one more person to share it with. And so what I mean by that is people were making intentional changes in their life. They had lost, or they had found no more value in their lives. They wanted to align themselves with something better, something different, with something valuable. And they were making intentional changes to do that. And at this point, that became the Question Guy podcast. I became the Question Guy, started asking questions. We're now at the tail end of season four. So 40 episodes, 4 times 4 is 160. So I've recorded about 180 conversations. From those conversations, people had created business models and became coaches or speakers or authors because of their personal transformation. They wanted to help other people make similar changes in their life, and they found a way to do it. They were successful. It worked for them. Coach's Corner came to be because they were using their professional expertise, what they knew to do. They created business from it, and they're now helping people. From those two conversations, I now bring in panel members on the Envision Speaker Series because so much of our society is corrupt and damaged that I did want to hashtag change the conversation around what it means to be well, healthy, and whole. The Envision Speaker Series does that. We've now recorded 22 conversations since July of last year. Because I'm a suicide attempt survivor, I have a playlist on YouTube on those people who have been impacted, typically in the wake of somebody else's suicide. So whether it's family, somebody in church, whatever that spouse, whatever that looks like. And then finally, for people who want to take a deeper dive in what it means to have a real genuine conversation with at least me, I created Conversations. It's another playlist on my YouTube channel. Every conversation is important.
So a couple of those are podcasts and some of them are video
I consider
playlists.
they're all conversations.
Okay.
So the like there we understand the word podcast, so I use the word podcast, the Question Guy podcast, Coach's Corner podcast. The Envision Speaker Series, however, is the only one that also gets converted to audio, published through Simplecast, and goes out to your podcast platforms, mostly Apple Podcasts and iTunes. But all of them are still valuable conversations.
Okay. I had that's to me, that's backwards. Podcast is audio only.
Well,
Video series would be on YouTube. But
they
that's
are. There are
semantics.
also video conversations.
Yeah.
Everything that's on YouTube is video.
This is what I know. I started my podcast in 2014, audio only, after having a YouTube talk show for, I don't know, 6 months or so. And we were having so much fun on the YouTube talk show that I thought, oh, this would be fun to do as a podcast. And so in January 2014, I launched a podcast, and then I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I muddled through it for a while, and then it became too hard to be a cancer patient going through the really hard cancer treatment that, the stuff that makes your hair fall out and keeps you in bed for 3 days and you're constantly with your head in the toilet. It was too hard to do a podcast then. And I put it to the side and I sold all my podcast equipment, my fancy podcast equipment that I had. I mean, I had a really nice studio set up. I mean, I was a serious podcaster, right? And then when the pandemic hit, I thought, the thing that I used to do that I love doing that I'm not doing anymore is podcasting. And let me tell you, everything was beautiful. It just picked up like it never stopped. The episodes were still sitting there on the server. They were still being listened to. I mean, it had been like 5 years since I'd released any content, but there was still 30 to 40 downloads per day happening to the content that had been there for 5 years. Everything worked seamlessly, and I have had an endless stream of people wanting to share their story ever since March of 2020 or whatever, whenever it was, I picked it back up. It was sometime, sometime in the, you know, in the early days of the pandemic. And people, what you said a little bit ago was that people wanted to tell their story, and they really, really do. They want to tell their story, but they also, there are also people who want it, who need to hear them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have a conversation on this show and I'm like, I don't think anybody's going to get any value out of this. Why did I book this guest? And then, and then I get an email from our listener that says that was the best podcast you've ever done.
Yeah. Because the value isn't where you're sitting. The value is where they're sitting.
Exactly.
And that's the distinction. I can't believe you just said that. Now I'm like, well, why are you having a conversation with me?
Because Naomi Barris, who was a previous podcast guest, recommended you, and I trust her judgment.
Cool. Shout out to Naomi.
Yeah, Naomi. She knows how to find the right guest for the right host. She's really good. So I've never been disappointed. Even when I've looked at her guest submissions and gone, what? I end up having a fantastic conversation with everybody that she pitches to me. So Naomi actually runs this service where she finds podcast hosts to have guests. What is that called? Okay. What is that called? You hired her. So what is that called?
Well, I'm the client.
You're her client, yeah.
She's the agent.
Yeah, that's what she is. She's a podcast agent. She's a podcast guest agent. That's the one I was looking for. So I'm telling the audience, you already know what she does because you hired her. But her business model is that she finds shows for interesting people to be on. And she does an excellent job. So that it's a total shout out to Noemi. And guess what?
Cool.
Her link will be in the show notes.
All right.
All right. So why did you decide to go the route of being a podcast guest when you're already in having so many conversations on your own? What's the benefit of guesting?
Yeah, because I want to tell my story. I don't necessarily get a chance to, because I open the floor to all my conversations to those people who are having a conversation with me. So it's basically their floor. I'm just kind of the orchestrator or the facilitator of those conversations. And again, so some of it or a lot of it was intentional because I wanted to heal, and I was healing through every conversation. I was literally becoming more me than I ever had before. And I'm an introvert by nature. And here I am having conversations with perfect strangers, developing all the things, all the social skills, cognitive skills, emotional skills that I probably should have developed when I was a teenager. And here I am, you know, 40 years post my teenage years, and I'm only developing them now, which is really good. I mean, I need to. And so if I'm ever in a situation where my life implodes again, I'm probably not going to make an attempt to kill myself, because I now have the cognitive, social, emotional resources to live through that trauma, whereas before I had not. Now, I am going to write my second book about that, Healing Through Conversation. I really forgot the question.
That's okay. I keep thinking about Misfit Islands from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
But the go ahead.
Well, the island of misfits.
Yeah, misfit there, toys. Yeah,
there are a lot more misfits than you think. Hmm. I consider myself a misfit.
Yeah, well, the reason I wanted to be on other people's shows because I wanted a chance to tell my story, because I don't typically tell my story. That was the question.
Yeah.
I don't typically tell my story on my own show. I don't find I've been told that that's not the way to run a podcast, because I'm supposed to kind of mix what I'm doing, like my book and all the other kind of stuff. No, I do. I do that more frequently, but really this then is an opportunity for people to learn about me, because you are seen all over the world, or you're heard all over the world. And that's really cool.
So
I hope.
I know several people whose business model it is to interview people for podcasts where they pay them, and the interview is all about the guest. Hmm. So it sounds to me like you either need to start charging, or you do need to talk about yourself a little bit more in your show.
I'll probably do the latter rather than the former, but you know, as my coaching program, you know, builds up, you know, we'll make it happen. And I actually, you talked about Noemi. Can I do a real quick shout out? Her and I are
Absolutely.
actually going to start a masterclass for guests, those who want to appear on other people's shows, because what we're finding, even people that have come to my show, and what she's finding as she, you know, puts clients onto other people's shows, is unless you've have experience doing it, you don't typically, you may have a story and a story that you want to share, but not everybody does it well enough that the conversation within the podcast is going to be gold. And so what we want to do is help those people who want to be really good guests and get their message out there. We want them to step into that conversation and hit that conversation to be gold. And so, but that's that June of this year. So 2024, we're going to start the masterclass.
I have so many notes for that that I'd like to give to you.
Well, we've got, well, as an agent and as a host, we got plenty, but if you could share, that's cool too.
There are I have notes. Even when you prep your client, your client,
Your
your
guest,
guest, like
yeah.
I send an email out before the interview with a list of things that are important to understand, the number of people who show up without a microphone. And then their voice is echoing in the background, and all and the their sound is tinny, and you know it's just it's like the, number one, if you're going to be a guest on podcast, you need to have a microphone. Number two, and the list goes
Okay,
on.
well, this is the master class right here.
The list goes on. No, but yeah, that I don't have the patience for any of that. So I'm so glad somebody's doing it, and I can't wait for it to come out because I'm going to refer people to it.
Well, all good. You
Yeah.
know, connect, you know, go back to Noemi and say, I got some people for your master class.
Well, and also another thing is don't memorize your answers. If you're a guest, do not come with written speeches. I one at the when I first relaunched the show, I interviewed a guy, and I swear the answer to every single question I asked him was a 5 to 7 minute Toastmaster speech.
You practice well.
And I'm like, I hope that this isn't the way it keeps going. And it was, that only happened once. So,
Okay.
you know, podcast is a conversation.
Well, wait, because I was on a podcast and a pre-call, the way she designed it. So initially it was like, I'll have a conversation with anybody, you know, no pre-call, none of that. And so she would just go into into the podcast conversation, and the guest said she was the second coming of Christ. And so flat out in the middle of the conversation, so at that point on, the next conversation and all after, you know, sequential conversations, she screens her guests. I told her I want to have that conversation. I want to have the conversation with the person who's the second coming of Christ. I got to have that conversation. She has failed to connect me with that person.
Oh, how interesting.
So you got it. So as you know, one host to another, you have to have that pre-call in some way, shape, or form, or you've got to trust the agent like you do,
Yeah.
knowing that person's going to be, you know, ready to go for the call.
Well, yeah, I have a thing that people fill out, and you know, if I have buzzwords in the thing, you know, if I see the buzzwords, I decline the interview.
Right,
You don't
right.
need to know what the buzzwords are. They're personal.
I'm good. I'm good.
But how interesting. Okay, so this Envision series, how do you find the speakers for it? Are they people that just come into your life, or because
No,
this
to
sound
the
that sounds really interesting to me.
so the Envision Speaker Series, what I've done so far is take those people who have already been on either the Question Guy or Coach's Corner, and I know that their scale is more than just coach to client relationship. So they really want, they have their own, you know, space on media, social media that says. And for example, and I could give a couple of different examples. My first ever Envision Speaker Series conversation, July of 2023. Mitch Gray, Shane Kramer, Dori Staley, Jerry Klingerman. Now, what I had done was Shane and Mitch had already been on my call. on the Question God podcast. So I know what kind of space they were in. I wanted to launch it with the idea that we're going to change the conversation around what it means to be well and whole, healthy, basically. The topic of conversation was men's mental health and suicide prevention. So from that, I typically have done, I would ask somebody, this is what I'm doing. So everything, grows slowly. But say you were to come on the Question God podcast or a Coach's Corner and say, okay, my mission in life is to XYZ, help people with who are surviving cancer. Let's say
Spread
something.
gratitude, sow seeds of appreciation, and harvest a bounty of generosity and kindness.
I would bring you and I would say, do you know other people in that space, two or three people that you know would come and add value to a panel member discussion? And that's how the conversation started. You bring people to me because you know that like trust these other people and they would add value to the conversation. So that's how it started. But in 2024, so this year as we're recording this, the mission now is kind of greater. It's not just about having the conversation. I have conversations all the time. It's about offering insight into actually changing. And so what does it mean to reduce the suicide rate? That's a conversation I have had in July. I'm sorry, this year, July and this year, and March, I should say. What does it mean to reduce? How do you change leadership to reduce workplace toxicity? I've had that conversation. Noemi, Tina, and Sheila came together and had a conversation with me about how art and being creative can be used to heal your emotional stability, right? We talked about that. So, for those people who have been on the show, can you bring other people to the table? Let's solve problems. Let's find a way of really not just a one-on-one and not a one-off. Can we really change how society lives? That's the question that I have as the question guy. Can we change it? That's what the Envision Speakers is all about.
I have referrals for you. I have so many people I want. I can. I'm thinking of that. I want to introduce you now. That would be excellent panel guests for you, or at least guests on one of your shows. Because a lot of people, singularly by themselves, are trying to do things that when you, I had this conversation this morning. As a matter of fact, I was I'm in Business Network International, BNI. It's a networking organization. I was having a one-to-one with a promotional products person in another chapter in another state. And I right away up front told him I have a promotional products guy in my chapter. We're category exclusive. I don't know how much you know about.
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, we're category exclusive, so I have the guy in my chapter, but I'd love to learn more about you and how you're different. And by the end of the conversation, I was like, the two of you really have completely different target markets. And I think that if you had a conversation with each other, you could either give each other ideas or fill in gaps for each other. And so I made an introduction to the two of them so that they could have a conversation with each other and determine whether or not they wanted to go that route. But there is so much value when it's not just you. When you're all by yourself, that's why my husband and I did so well in our business. He is an amazing artist. He's a world-class furniture maker. Amazing. And I'm a pretty good salesperson. And putting us together, we sold furniture to people all over the world. It was featured in magazines. It was just amazing. But I wouldn't have been able to do that without him. And he wouldn't have been able to do it without me.
Well, now I'm kind of upset. You said he's amazing, but you're pretty good. What? You're not an amazing salesperson?
I'm amazing at two things
Okay, there you
too,
go.
but
There you go.
I
But you specifically said, oh, I'm just pretty good, but
yeah.
he's amazing.
He is amazing. Without him, I wouldn't have been able to do what I did. But without me, he wouldn't have been able to do what he did, right? He would have been, that our story is completely, it's 30 years ago, right? So when we did that. So that story is so old and that business doesn't even exist anymore, but we did some pretty amazing things together. So we were amazing together in that business. I mean, we basically did something no one had ever done before. We sold custom furniture on the internet in 1998. Wow. No one had done that before. So I think together we were pretty amazing. In these last few years, self-care has become, I see how I pivot so well. So,
You're doing great.
I just changed this. Well, 214 interviews. Well, actually, there's more than that because I've had more than one podcast. Let's just call it 250. 250 interviews. I should be able to do this, right?
So, yeah, you're doing good.
So since the pandemic, self-care has become really important. And I hate the term self-care because we shouldn't have to take care of ourselves. We should just be doing it naturally. I mean, Calgon Take Me Away was a thing in the 70s, right? Yeah. We should be good at taking care of ourselves, and we stepped away from it for so whatever reason.
Can I push back on that a bit?
Yeah, of course you can.
We've left the idea that we need to take care of ourselves. I think there are so many, as you know, if you remember the Calgon commercials, I do too because I'm 54, and so
we're exactly the same age.
We have allowed, and we being just the people on Earth, have allowed whomever or whatever, and I'm not trying to be, you know, pseudo conspiracy here, have technology consumes our lives. Technology takes over how we think. We now have AI to create content for us. Children, my daughter, 14 years old, is growing up in a social media frenzy. We have different stressors than our culture, human beings have different stressors than we did back in the 70s, 80s, 90s. And so forth. And so it's not that we don't recognize the need for self-care. There seems to be more pressure to do too many things too quickly that we accept it.
Yeah.
So it's not that we don't want to. So now we're somebody in social media world has said, oh, we need to have self-care, self-love, and all this kind of stuff. And yeah, it's present. And we're not that we don't recognize it, but there's, like, for me, you know, easily I could be traumatized again because I have to work a 9-to-5 job. You know, my podcast don't pay the bills. My coaching program doesn't pay the bills. The upcoming masterclass isn't going to pay the bills. It'll add. Now, do I want to flip all that? So I am having every conversation that matters. I am working my 9-to-5 job. I am doing all those things. Am I exhausted at the end of the day? I sure am. So it's a matter of perspective, but you're right. You know, we do need to stop, take time out, develop those relationships with ourselves, eat right. And can I just add a, for instance, you know,
of
my
course.
Own. So this is where it becomes critical. And this is where I recognize the value here is because I did have a heart attack in 2022, you know, two suicide attempts and a heart attack and 12 years is, you know, a wake-up call. But so let's focus on the heart attack real quick. Let's go back and let's go forward. So I am an asthmatic. From youth, I have an asthma condition. So when I was 14, I had a major asthma attack. I had an asthma condition when I was born. And so I turned around. This is my first pivot in life, was I wanted to manage my own health without having to take a daily medication. So the doctor did offer me daily medication. I chose just to receive the emergency inhaler, which I still carry with me every day. But I went out jogging that day. So my first jog, quote unquote jog, was 3 seconds. And so again, 14 years old, asthma condition. So 14 to 51 years old, 52 years old, so 2 years ago, I became addicted to exercise. And so exercise is my go-to for everything. Run, lift weights, you know, just be healthy. And be healthy through physical movement. That's my motto. Because of my male ego and, you know, my short stature, so I'm only standing 5'6" and I'm 145 pounds soaking wet. I mean, look at me. I'm just skin and bones. But I'm going to explain. So every once in a while, I cycle through this idea that I'm going to be this big, powerful Herculean guy. And so I dump a bunch of protein in me, lift real heavy, strength train, all that kind of stuff, right? So I cycle through that a couple of times in my adult life. And so I'm cycling through this in 2022. So high amount of protein, whey protein, milk products, all those things. So I'm now at 165. So I'm 20 pounds plus of what you see me now. What I didn't recognize, nobody was telling me, was that actually I was killing myself. I was destroying my kidneys because of the high amount of protein that I was taking without balancing. I wasn't eating right. So I still love my fried chicken and mashed potatoes and stuff. And so I live here in Virginia. So it's kind of part and parcel of being in the South. Bad kidneys, clogging my arteries. Now I do have a predisposition, medically, my family, especially my mama's side, my grandmother died of a heart attack, way back in the day. We have cholesterol, levels of cholesterol and whatnot. No diabetes, but enough to be concerned that I should be taking better care of my diet, not just my exercise. My artery clogs on, a Sunday in October 2022. Totally knocks me to the floor. So it's 3 o'clock in the morning. The pain is throughout the chest and the lower jaw. And because I still am addicted to exercise and thought that this was going to go away, I just cry there on the floor for 2 hours waiting for it to go away, right? Once it did, once the kind of the pain receded, I went back to sleep for a couple of hours, still got up and walked my 5 miles. So as an adult male, I walked for 5, 6 miles a day. The pain had not gone, well, the pain had gone away, but it was still tightness in chest. Something's really a matter. I should probably get, a doctor's look into this. So I go to the emergency room. I'm there for a couple of hours. They can't find anything. Did you really, what's going on with you? Why are you here? After multitude of blood tests and tests, regardless, you have a heart attack, and you've been like this since 3 o'clock this morning. You're an idiot, right? So I was admitted to the hospital. They put a stent in my heart and my artery. That changed really now how I live my life. And so I have the right diet. I have the right exercise for the right body type. And so I keep myself healthy. I do exercise, but I'm not eating all the high proteins, a lot more fish, fruits, vegetables. Everything is in harmony with one another. And I'm in the best shape of my life because now I've purposefully and intentionally, I'm going to hike the Appalachian Trail from Georgia to Maine. It's a thru hike in 2025. So I'm training for that. And so I get up at 2:30 in the morning every day and I hike 12 miles. I've just did my 18-mile hike on Sunday, this past Sunday, because I got to get up to at least 22, 25 miles per day to do the whole through hike in about 100 days or so. So within 4 months' time. But my kidneys are healthy. My heart's healthy. I don't take medications. I do see my cardiologist twice a year, my general practitioner once a year, just as a checkup. I've changed my whole life around. And I did so intentionally.
Well, and you did it, and you created this fantastic goal of hiking the Appalachian Trail too. I mean,
Which is really cool.
that is very cool. I love that goal. I just saw that they're building, they just announced, I'm not sure if it's going to be built or if it's still in the infrastructure stages, but as part of the, I think it's the American Rescue Plan, they have set aside funds to build a walking trail from Washington, D.C. to Washington State. And much of it is already built and they just need to connect the pieces, but the states that between Washington, D.C. and Washington State have to come on board. So I don't think it's like a done deal yet, but isn't that a great idea? Washington, D.C. to Washington State? Even if you only walk, even if you only walk through one or two of the states, it's still crazy amazing. And the fact that the infrastructure is there already and it just needs to be connected in places, that it's like how can it not happen, right? I love that we have these trails in America. I actually have a friend, his name's Rashid, and he walked Route 66. I think it was his 66th birthday. He walked from Chicago to Santa Monica on Route 66 for his to celebrate his
That
66th
allowed?
birthday.
Are you allowed to walk
A
that?
lot of it is on the freeway, but he did it. He walked it. A lot of people bike it. So he met a lot of bikers along the way, but bicycles. But yeah, I just think it's so cool. And they should turn that into a walking trail too. There should be a walking trail for that. Because old Route 66 and new Route 66 are not the same. There's, you know, the a lot of times he would take old Route 66 instead of the new one. But yeah, it's so cool. And I love that you're doing that. You're not the first person I've met who's that is their goal. It's
well,
a
I'm
great
training
goal.
For it.
Yeah.
And on the question guy, I interviewed the first woman who walked around the world, Polly Lutovsky. And this was back in the 90s and into the 2000s. So I interviewed her. So that conversation was a lot of fun too.
Oh, I bet. I know a woman who bicycled across the United States twice. I know a lot of interesting people who've done crazy things like that.
I'm going to take that as a on both parts. Interesting and crazy thing.
I love it. I love it. Well, I also worked in the outdoor industry, so I know a lot of crazy people who have attempted to climb Mount Everest too.
Oh, well, that's a different story altogether.
Crazy, crazy people in my life. But like I said, you know, earlier, like half an hour ago or whatever long ago it was, all of us live on Misfit Island. All of us do.
There
isn't
some
a
way, yeah.
single person who's normal. Nobody's normal.
But we say all that to say we still have to find a way of being healthy. We still have to find, we still have to find a way of saying, I need to put the world aside for at least 10 minutes a day and focus on self-care. You know, if that's what we're going to call it, whatever we want to call it, if we don't do that, you may have a heart attack. You know, every time this is going back to my cardiologist, he's so fun because every time I go to see him, and I've only seen him, well, four times because the first time I was in the hospital. Every time I see him for an office visit, he tells me, you know, everybody dies. It's like, and it's like, why are you making that part of the conversation? And then he goes on to tell me that, well, and more people die from, you know, heart-related illnesses than anything else. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm not trying to find out.
Yeah.
That's probably why he's a cardiologist. Aren't you supposed to be uplifting here?
No, but reality is important too. My oncologist, my very first oncologist, also said everybody has to die from something. His quote was, everybody has to die from something. But here I am 10 years later. So he did something right. I was having that. I went and saw my doctor, my oncologist, my new oncologist. I've moved and everything since then. But so I was having this conversation with my new oncologist yesterday. Oh, crap. What were we talking about?
Being whole and well and healthy.
Being whole and well and healthy. Well, we were talking about everybody having to die. I can't remember now. See, it's so inconsequential. It is so inconsequential.
Your doctor, whoever doctor you're going to visit shouldn't say everybody's going to die. Yeah, I do recognize that. You're supposed to tell me how I'm going to be healthy for the rest of my life.
Yes. Yes. That's not where we were going with that story. But I've lost my train of thought.
It's okay. It's okay.
Which happens a lot because, you know, I like to go down these little the conversations where you don't know where they're going are the ones that are the most interesting.
And a lot of fun too.
Yeah. And I have to go get my heart checked every year because of one of my meds, and my she's the person who does the EKG, EKG.
The technician,
she's all, you're good. You know, she's just like, she sees me every year. I don't have to be there. My heart's great. You know, it's like, I'm supposed to get it checked every 3 months, but I was like, okay, every single time I go every 3 months to be told my heart's in great condition. Can we like do this once a year instead? So now I just go once a year. I have a great heart. In two ways. I have a great heart, healthy heart, and I have a great heart in terms of my emotional
health.
Absolutely. I have a healthy emotional heart. All right. Cool. Holy moly. We have to start thinking about wrapping up. So how are you? Well, I kind of want to talk about your book. Let's talk about your book for a minute. What's your book about? Why did you write it? And what, you know, tell me about your book.
So again, everything comes from that pivotal moment. Second suicide attempt. But this was a little different. So Walking the Path, A Leader's Journey has a couple of different origin stories, and they're all good. And so the technical one was I was wanting to write a book everybody my age in my situation has a book. I'm 50 plus years old. Everybody's got a book. Career-wise, they've got some kind of business book related to what they do. The one man who, really was there, who invested in me, through my dark times, his name is Mitch Gray. And Mitch Gray is a business coach. And so I said, I have his book. It's somewhere. It's probably in my bookshelf. I said, let me write the training manual to this. It's a really good book, but he was trying to do some other things with the content. Let me write the training manual. So he said, yeah, all right, go ahead. So I start writing like the training manual. So leadership concepts and all good stuff. My colleagues are telling me you need to write a book, like a real, your what's gonna what do people what do you want to be recognized for as a professional? So okay. So I said, I went back to Mitch and I said, can we co-author a book? We just take this one step further beyond. And so, okay, we'll co-author a book. So I wrote my part to it, which was really the narrative or the fable part of the book. So it's story oriented. It's a mixture of fiction and nonfiction. Excuse me. So the fictional part of the book was a young man named John who was expected to take over his dad's farm. So a community living in this valley surrounded by mountains. Everything's the same. All things are good. People support one another. They're fishermen, they're hunters, they're craftsmen, and they like it that way. Everything is status quo. Here's John. John's a misfit. Doesn't fit in. Doesn't feel like he fits in. But he's expected to take over his dad's farm when he gets older, but he's going to be trained into leadership once he's finished high school. And so high school ends in a couple of months. He goes to his mentor and says, I can't do that. I need to find out who I am. His mentor gives him permission to do that. But in order to do that, he has to leave the valley. He's got to leave the community. He's got to go find his life. His mentor tells him a couple of things. You need to do this, and I'm going to support you as much as I can. Your cheerleaders, that team of people that will go with you because you can't cross the mountain alone, it's too dangerous. And three, you've got to develop a plan, and that plan may change between now and the end, but at least you have to work with something. And so he had three things to do. So from that, I wrote that story, basically. And then Mitch never gave me his side of the book. And so, Mitch, I said, I got to write the story. So all the things I knew about leadership, about how to have conversations, how to plan and create strategy from a non-academic perspective. So this is all application-based, practical-based stuff. I folded that in around each of the chapters where John is developing himself, communicating with his friends, learning from his mentor, and then designing a plan to cross over the mountain became the book. So contextual, fable combined together. Now, other authors larger than myself have done this type of book, this strategic type of book. I gave it a whirl. It's published. It's self-published. I'm not $1 million. I didn't earn $1 million from it, but I like the book. I've gotten some good reviews from it. Would love for everybody to kind of go out and buy it. I think they would learn a good lesson or two about themselves. So basically, it's a self-development book under a leadership, paradigm. But the second origin story is it all those characters, all those things that I learned in the book or talk about in the book is because I learned them. Post my suicide attempt, my second suicide attempt. This was me growing as a person, learning who to trust, who to talk to, who my mentors were, who my cheerleaders were. And from then to now, at the time of this conversation, and even post this conversation, every conversation thereafter, those things about me continue to grow, expand, become a part of my life in a very meaningful as well as very practical way where I could step into this conversation and make it valuable and important. One, you've offered me the space, but it's my turn to return value to you to give you the best possible conversation so that your audience can be appreciative and grateful.
Well, parables are the best kinds of book, the best types of books to learn from, because people can relate to the characters in a parable better than a self-help book. You know, this is what you should do, rather than here's what you should do. Watching it through the, you know, reading it through the eyes of somebody else is always a good way to learn. I prefer to read parables. I only read nonfiction. I can't remember the last time I read a fiction. Well, oh no, I take that back. I listened to a fic to something fic fiction a fiction story on the plane to Texas last week or the week before. So I have listened to fiction recently, but up until then, it'd been a while since I'd listened to not to to fiction. Nonfiction is what I do, but nonfiction in the form of a parable is always the most enjoyable to read. I
Agreed.
had something I wanted to say, and now I don't remember. See how I've lost my thought. It was about your book too. Oh well.
Well,
Oh well. Oh, I remember.
can we go ahead?
No, go ahead. What were you
Can
gonna
we put
say?
the link in the show notes? It's an Amazon.
Absolutely.
All
All of
right.
your link, all of Keith's information will be in the show notes. All of the links that he's given me, and maybe the more, even the ones that I've gone and looked for, will be in the show notes.
Okay.
Gratitudegeek.com. Okay. This is gonna be a very controversial statement. As a matter of fact, I know it's gonna be controversial,
For
but
whom?
I believe, this is my own personal belief, I believe in compulsory service, which means I think that 18-year-olds, when they graduate from high school, should have to do something where they give back to the community. They should either join AmeriCorps, the Peace Corps, the military, or some sort of social organization where they spend 1 or 2 years leaving their hometown and going and learning about the world in a way that is of service. I know that's very controversial, but if you never leave your hometown, you can never understand completely what the world is really like. So I know that was, so I like the idea of leaving the little valley and not having to take over the farm.
Cool.
Because there's a lot to be said for that. Okay. I know I said that was going to be co controversial, and that's, I
Well,
mean, we're going to get nasty emails about that, aren't we?
but not to some degree, probably, 20, 30 years ago, that would have been a really good thing. I think nowadays, our youth don't even have the mental capacity to understand how to go about doing that in a safe way.
Yeah, but if it was a system, if there was a system in place, it would be very safe. And when they got back, they would have the mental capacity because they would understand. A lot of
You
it
would
is that
hope
they
so.
just don't know that there's something outside of their small town. They don't know that if they drive past the city border, that there's something else greater out there. Like I know, I knew I had a client in the furniture business when we had the furniture business, and she had a huge dairy farm up in upstate New York. And they lived in Manhattan, and they would take inner city kids to the dairy farm, kids who had never seen cows before. And these inner city kids would milk the cows, and they'd have this whole experience. That, I mean, to them, milk came out of a carton in the refrigerator, and now they understood where the milk came from. And it goes the other way too. The kids on the farm need to go into a fancy, need to go downtown to some fancy restaurant and have a meal served to them on a tablecloth with, you know, with water glasses that are always full to understand what it's like to live that lifestyle too, right?
Right.
You have to be exposed to everything, which is why when I was a Girl Scout leader, I took my Girl Scouts to as many experiences as I could afford to take them to. I
Good,
wanted to
good.
expose them to everything. Okay, we need to wrap up. We're way past time.
Okay.
What is your favorite way to market, or your favorite marketing tool, tip, or technique, basically, aside from being a guest on podcasts?
I don't know. My marketing strategy at this point is to have every conversation possible, to be quite honest.
Thanks for tuning in to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast for micropreneurs building genuine, lasting relationships with clients, colleagues, and community. Our theme music is Track 14 by Rev Brock and Solely. Make sure to visit gratitudegeek.com to connect with our guest, Dr. Keith McNally. I've been your host, Candice Ridardi. Stay groovy, my friends.